Merkel Media.
Everybody, welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host with the most, Jack Merkel, and I'm here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. I hope you've had a good week and are ready for the weekend. This week, we've got a great one, an early episode for you, episode 10, Loads of Love. This was with Tara and Cody. They're a husband and wife trucking team, and man, just what an incredible story. It was awesome to be able to talk to them and hear their experience of sharing the road together. Driving together, handling every situation together. It was very interesting. And I know we really enjoyed it on our end. So anyway, without further ado, have a good one. Enjoy the show. Peace out.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we are here to share some wild stories from the road. If you are a trucker, a police officer, a fireman, or an EMT driver, or if you just drive for a living and you want to share your wild and crazy experiences from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. We'll get the email and we'll get you on the show to share your wild and crazy experiences with us for the world to hear. So, Dad, how you doing? Because you're working, you're driving truck, I'm not driving truck, and it sounds like nobody's working in the family except for you. So how's work been going for you, sir?
It's been fine. It's been busy, but it's been fine.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you kind of laugh, you know? Nobody else is working. I'm the only goofball working. I should have taken a layoff.
Hey, you know, some people are wise enough to take layoffs when they're offered.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Listen, I mean, they said, "Do you want to take a month off?" And I said, "You know what? We're in the middle of a pandemic. My wife's pregnant. I think we'll take a month off."
No better time than that.
Right. And so they asked me this past week, they said, they texted me and said, "Do you want another week off?" I said, "Sure."
And might as well follow through.
Yeah, might as well add another week to it.
You got that right.
And so to all the drivers out there driving across the country and keeping freight moving and stuff, I thank you, because I have not been contributing to the cause recently. but we do appreciate you guys being out there.
Yes,
and driving out there and on the roads. From what I understand, we're going to be picking up again here soon as far as moving freight more. I heard that at least in Pennsylvania, they're going to be opening up construction, I think the first week of May or something like that. So hopefully with construction opening up again, we'll get the business flowing again.
Let's hope so.
Because it's been rough on the economy. I feel like this is something we're going to be dealing with for years down the road now, trying to recover from this. And so, you know, we try to make light of it and we try to, you know, chuckle and, you know, all that fun stuff. You got to, but the reality is we're hurting financially as a country, and I think this is something we're gonna have to kind of recover with over time, but together.
Yeah.
And so hopefully through this whole mess that we're in, we can kind of band together as Americans and kind of forget about political parties and just say, you know what, American, let's band together and defeat this problem that we have. And I'm not just talking about the COVID-19. I'm talking about the economic disaster we're in right now. So,
oh my God, yeah.
So drivers out there, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. We need you out there doing your thing. But this week we have Cody and Tara coming on the show, and they are a married couple. Now, Dad, if I remember correctly, Cody and Tara, they actually drove over the road together as well, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they shared time. Yep.
Yeah, and so now what they're doing is they're driving locally in Washington State, and it seems like they kind of go through cycles where they get tired of doing over the road, so they go and do local for a few years, and they get tired of that, then go back on the road. So they're a fun couple to talk to. And
very much.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where, you know, you get a couple, and they drive together and all that fun stuff, and, you know, kind of get a new perspective as to what it's like driving over the road with your spouse.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
I don't think a whole lot of people, you know, get that perspective.
I'm not sure if a whole lot of people want that perspective. I mean, God bless them for doing it, and I know that there are couples out there that do, but, you know, I'm not sure if I'd be one of those couples. Let me just put it that way.
Actually, you know, I should just remain silent and let crickets play. You're on your own, Dad.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm married long enough. Yeah. I know what side my bread is buttered on.
How long has it been now? I'm going to put you on the spot. 30-something?
32 years this year.
32 years.
Yeah, 32 years.
Wow. 32 years. That's an accomplishment in today's world.
Yeah.
32 years?
That's right.
Holy cow. Me and my wife have been at it for 13 years, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't even know. I lost count.
Yeah, so you put me on the spot and you don't remember how long you're married.
Listen, 2007, whatever it is. Do the math.
Figure it out.
Yeah, but let's bring on Tara and Cody right now and get to talking with them about their experiences from the road. They have some really cool experiences, and I think it was either Tara or Cody. One of them had seen the Lady in White, which is like this paranormal phenomenon that a lot of truckers see, where it's like this ghostly woman in white walking down the road. Yep. So let's get to them right now. Okay, today we got a great couple of guests on the show, Dad. We have Cody and Tara. Guys, how you doing?
We're good.
We're good.
Awesome. So, listen, actually, Tara actually was on the show. Tara, do you remember what show you were on for my other podcast, The Confessionals?
I don't. I know it was on less than 100, though.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's been a while, so I was having a hard time remembering it myself. But I know you were on that podcast, and when Cody reached out to me about this podcast, I was really excited about talking to you guys again. And Cody was actually somebody who almost did the job that Sam did from episode 2. He told us that he almost signed up to be a contractor as well. But I guess what? Family got in the way, Cody?
Yeah, I had three young kids at home that, you know, at the time I just felt like I couldn't leave them. Leave them that long behind, you know, so I just decided not to. The money was, of course, the money's the reason why people go over there. But I just decided that I should stay at home.
I don't blame you for that. I don't blame you at all. That's one of the reasons why, this is going to sound terrible to say this, but it's one of the reasons why I never went over the road. I was a local driver. I've been a local driver since I started driving in 93. And I don't blame you at all for that decision. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah. So, guys, you both drive trailer. Now, let me ask you, first of all, before we get into how you guys started driving truck, do you guys drive together as like partners, or do you have your own trucks?
Well, we used to drive. We used to drive as a team over the road, but we started working with a Teamster outfit out of Portland. We were hauling their freight for a couple, 3 years. We started hauling their freight as outside contractors, and we decided to cut out the middleman. Let's just go to work for the union, and it's kind of what brought us to Portland. We moved to Portland and worked for YRC Freight. For about 2 years, and then we moved on together. We're local drivers for Fred Meyer, Kroger Fred Meyer, and we're home every day. So, and we're also still Teamsters, union Teamsters.
Okay, that's cool. So how's it, before we get into any more, now that you're talking about Portland, how is it out there right now? Because I know Portland is kind of like on lockdown right now. Have you guys experienced a work slowdown because of it?
Oh no, we are crazy busy. They're literally hiring lots of Jippos and renting extra trailers to make sure everybody's getting stuff delivered to the stores. And even though people are supposed to be home, the streets are still pretty full.
Really? Okay. I was on the assumption that, you know, out there in Oregon and just the West Coast in general, California, that would be pretty much a ghost town because of how they locked everything down, especially California. But that's interesting to hear because I know in our industry, I know my dad hasn't felt, you know, much of a slowdown. But for me, doing what I do, we definitely slowed down. They were not bringing in guys to work because there wasn't enough work to, you know, go around and stuff. So our industry definitely took a hit. And I think because we do the general freight industry, so people, you know, companies that we pick up freight from that are being shipped somewhere else, you know, if they're not working or their customers aren't working, they're not shipping. And so, you know, it kind of hurt us a little bit because, you know, we're not doing, you know, grocery stores and things like that. We're doing just real general freight. But, you know, it is what it is. And hopefully things turn around quickly for us and things like that. But I don't care who answers first, but how'd you guys get involved in trucking? Was it something that you guys decided to do together? Or was it that you both kind of got your CDLs at different times?
Well, no, I'm in my 18th year now driving. Most of my career, it was over the road. But throughout that 18-year span, I've come off the road and done local work. And pretty much starved and then went back out on the road because you can make more money out on the road. But then, you sacrifice, you know, your kids and you sacrifice your marriages and all that stuff. But you make better money out there. And then you get tired of being out on the road and you want to be home. So there will be 2 or 3 or 4 year spans where I'm home on a local job, and it just goes back and forth. We've been off the road now, I think almost 4 years now. We've been running local. No, maybe 17. We've been running local, so we're home every night, and we miss the road. So it's that unless you've done both worlds, you really don't understand what it feels like to miss the road. And then when you're on the road to miss home, to miss a place called home. So, that's kind of where I was a painter for 13 years and, it started slowing down about 2001, 2002. It just seemed like the construction, you know, and the painting got real slow. And I just decided I wanted to do something different. And, I went to school, went to truck driving school, and here I am 18 years later, still doing it. And my wife's a driver, my son's a driver, and almost everybody I know is a driver. So that's kind of my story.
And for me, Cody and I met in 2013, and he was doing over the road, but he was home on weekends. And when we got together and, you know, a year or two into our relationship, he said he wanted me to team with them. So I actually started by driving school bus. And I also had my own dog grooming business. So I'd get up, drive school bus, work all day doing dog grooming, and then drive school bus in the evening. And we decided that when my son graduated high school, that I'd go into truck driving school. So my son graduated on a Friday. I was in truck driving school on Monday and went straight into teaming with Cody. And we did that for 3 years before we came off the road. So counting my school bus and driving truck, I've been doing it for 7 years. That's pretty much my story with it.
Yeah. That's interesting because, you know, everybody has their own story on how they get into the industry. And, you know, I find that when I'm talking to these different people and stuff, a lot of people are, you know, it's like they kind of fell into truck driving. And it wasn't, because I know like that was my dad's story. You know, he kind of just fell into truck driving. And Cody, it seems like, you know, painting was slowing down. You kind of went into truck driving. But it almost everybody that I talk to, once they're into truck driving, it's like there's really, I don't know a whole lot of people who are like, yeah, but, you know, I think I'm going to become a painter again or something like that. It's like, once you're a truck driver, it's like, yep, this is where I'm settling into. Is that how you guys feel about it?
Well, I really can't stand to drive a truck anymore just because I'm so burned with it's not that I don't like the act of driving a truck is cool, but you know, getting flipped off every day and,
yes.
and traffic, especially where we live, you know, we're in between Seattle and Portland. That's kind of much, pretty much where we run. And you can just imagine what the traffic's like all day long. I mean, you know, we're in Philadelphia, it's pretty bad. I've been there plenty of times, but so you get burnout. I'm tainted on just how I feel about, you know, the whole, you know, doing my job. I'm missing something in my life. Like I want to go do something else, but it's the pay. We get paid so well to do what we do that it's hard to leave.
And we have a pension, and that's,
yeah.
that's the thing you want to keep right now.
Oh, most definitely. You got that right. I know. The older I get, the more important that becomes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the biggest reason we switched from one Teamster company, YRC, to Kroger, Fred Meyer, because of their pension. That's what drew us over there. And we've actually merged from, there's probably been about nine of us from that company come over to our company just because the pay's better and the pension's there. You know, and it's a strong pension, and the union's, union, it has its thing, but it's actually pretty good for a lot of things, especially insurance and the pension. So that's what keeps me here doing this, you know. I still hate driving a truck.
That's funny, man. That's funny because I think that a lot of people, they have similar sentiments, you know, like where, you know, for instance, for me, I really enjoy driving truck, but it does get old when it comes to the idea of dealing with the traffic and dealing with the people who just do not care that you're out there trying to get whatever they're racing to the store to buy. You're trying to get it there. And it's just like, it can get, you know, old sometimes when you're dealing with people who just are ungrateful all the time around you. I totally get what you're saying and stuff. So Tara, you and Cody have some interesting stories, and I don't really care who starts first, but I think people, when they hear some of these stories, I think they're going to be like, wow, you know. So it's up to you guys, whoever wants to go first, but if you guys want to just start walking us into some of these stories and stuff, that'd be great.
Yeah, trucker stories, we all have them, I suppose. You know, I'm definitely not that guy that wants to sit around in the TA and talk about my stories, but I hate that too. But you know, we all, after so many years in the industry, you develop, things happen in your life. And as far as I don't have a whole lot of, I mean, a whole lot of like really cool stories, but there's a few things that's happened to me that I just trip on. So this was probably 10 years ago, maybe even longer. Anybody who's driven over the road knows where Highway 212 is, going past off the Crow Reservation, past Custer's Battlefield. It's kind of the shortcut to Sturgis, and then across I-94. So it's off of 90. It's kind of, like I said, the shortcut. So right there, before you get off of I-90, there's a weigh scale, and it's kind of an abandoned one. At least it was back then. There still was a scale shack there, but most of the time it was just for, you know, parking and resting your feet before you start over that 212. And so I was taking a nap one afternoon, and this is no more than probably 400 or 500 yards from the actual battlefield site. And I'm laying there asleep, I'm laying there going to bed, and all of a sudden I hear this big old bang on the side of my truck. And it felt like somebody stepped on my, you know, like my side, the running boards there, and I felt like somebody got up on my truck. So everybody who's ever lived in a truck or been in a truck knows what that feels like. So I instantly jumped up and looked out the window, looked out my mirrors. There was nobody around. And so the only thing I can explain to me, you know, in my eyes, because I have to make it cooler, and it probably actually was, it was, you know, a ghost of one of the Indians or one of Custer's guys. You know, I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with. Unless a bird just smacked into the side of my truck. I don't know. I didn't see nothing, though. So it was kind of eerie. Kind of a weird place to be when that happened. So
I'm just thinking.
The only time.
I'm sorry. God, I didn't mean to cut you. I'm just kind of sitting here listening, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know what? These DOT inspectors really do never die, do they?
Yeah, they come back to haunt us all the
exactly.
time. Yeah. So that was, out of all the, I wish I had more cooler stories when it comes to like a paranormal side, but that's what I'm, that's one story I have, and I'll let Tara talk about something that's probably recently happened to her lately, and it just kind of gets worse from there.
Yeah, I was driving south on I-5, just between Centralia and Chehalis, which are between Seattle and Portland themselves. And, you know, I'm just driving in the slow lane, and here comes this pickup, and he's going extremely fast. So fast that he almost rear-ends the guy in the fast lane, and then he kind of swerves around on the left, and as I'm looking in my mirror, here comes all these cops just chasing this guy. And I was, you know, I think to myself, you know, I hit the little record button on my ELD so that, you know, if they need the video of it, they'll have it. And probably 10 seconds later, traffic just comes to a complete stop. And you know, and there's probably like 20 or more cop cars show up, 3 ambulances, the fire department, you know, so we, of course, traffic had a complete stop and they have us sitting there a good half hour. And all of a sudden a cop comes up to my window and basically they have everybody back up to the exit before that we had all passed. So here goes all these semis backing up the freeway. And so then we going around on the side road, you can see kind of where the cops were, and they had it all yellow taped off. So usually when you see yellow tape, you know, somebody died, you know? And so by the time I got home, I was looking on the news, and basically it was that incident that just happened on I-5 where, you know, south of Olympia, where the cop was putting out strips to blow his tires and
spike strips.
And the guy in the pickup hit that cop and killed that cop.
Trooper.
Yeah, he was a trooper.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So if I would have been 10, not even 10 seconds faster, I would have like seen the guy hit. So.
Yeah, it just happened last week too.
Yeah. So that's one thing.
So you're saying that the guy who they were chasing hit the cop?
He hit the cop. Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
He killed him.
Wow. That's. I mean,
they don't know at this time if it was like deliberate, but I'm pretty sure. You know, you can take your guesses. You know. Yeah. So yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, eventually he was going to get caught. More often than not, they get caught. And, you know, he's going to go to jail for running. But, I mean, now he's going to jail for killing a cop. I mean, I don't know what the penalty is for that, but it's much more severe than putting cops on a police chase.
Yes. You know, and he was a really young guy, you know, and had a wife, you know, in this really sad situation. You know, and the guy... They had been chasing him through 2 counties already at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, it started up in Thurston County and went down. So basically Olympia, Washington, and then it went south of that into Thurston and then into Lewis County. And Lewis County is where it all ended, but yeah.
Do you know why he was running?
He had charges in both counties. They hadn't said yet at the time the news came on what he was wanted for, but, they did say he was a 39-year-old gentleman. So, you know, just
hardly a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, that's, insane. I don't think I've ever seen a police chase, Dad. Have you?
I've seen a couple of them. You know, you spend enough time, you know. Yeah, I drive at nighttime, and you know, for whatever reason, here on the East Coast, when you're not in a big city, that's when you see the, you know, the car chases. I remember seeing times where you saw one cop car, and then you saw another bear, and then you saw another bear, and then you saw another bear, and you're like, okay, what's going on? You know, there's something happening, and you all of a sudden you turn the squelch up on your radio, and you're listening to see, is anybody talking about anything going on? I've seen cop chases. I've never actually been to the end of one. Like you have there, Tara. I've never seen the result of it, but yeah, it's kind of freaky when you see that going on.
We were in Dallas a couple of years ago, probably 3 years ago or so, and we were watching TV just before we had left. I think we were waiting to get loaded, and we ended up getting loaded, and there was a police chase, and they were chasing a guy in a semi truck. Well, they finally had caught up to him, and there was a standoff where they were in the striker unit, and they basically got right up in front of the cab and shot the tear gas through the windshield, because the standoff was probably 45 minutes or better. But by the time we got out of Dallas and got to that part of the freeway, we were east on 10, and we went right by the scene. Right there where it was at. It's like, wow, it already ended, but all that stuff was still there.
Yeah, because somebody stole the semi and trailer, and that's why the standoff was happening. But he was nice enough to let the guy's dog out.
Yeah.
How kind. Yeah. How kind.
I know.
So he steals the trailer, and all right. So did he have a CDL? Do you know? Because I can't imagine somebody who hops in a tractor, fires it up, will know how to shift it for very long.
Well, most tractors nowadays are automatic, so anybody can drive a truck nowadays. That's what they say, right? That's what they pay us the big bucks, because anybody can drive a truck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't say if he had a CDL. He stole the truck and trailer and with somebody's dog in it.
Bad as bad. Did you hear about the guy who just stole the load of toilet paper and got arrested?
No, please tell.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, since this Corona thing started, it was, I don't know where it was at, but it was just like a week or so ago. They arrested a guy that hijacked, I think it was either his own load or a load. It was toilet paper and paper towels. And, you know, he was going to probably sell it on the black market. But, it was a full-on DOT raid and everything on that truck and trailer.
Wow, that is crazy. You know, it's funny, when you first made the statement and you said, did you hear the story about a guy who stole a truck of toilet paper? I'm waiting for the punchline. I'm like, okay, is this a joke or is this real? You know, with today, the way the world is, you know, you never know.
Isn't that how trucker stories start, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, exactly. That's hilarious. Oh, that's awesome.
Another one. It was about 2 years ago, two and a half. It was on New Year's Eve, and we were in Idaho, just coming out of Boise, headed west on, we were on 84, headed west back towards Portland, and it was snowing, icy. It was really bad weather. And all of a sudden, we come to a complete stop, and we were there for maybe 5 minutes. She was in the sleeper, I was driving, and all of a sudden, they let us start going through. Well, there, a cop had showed up to the scene, and obviously, there was mayhem. There was cars everywhere, and you know, I don't know the exact details, but as I'm clearing, because I was one of the first vehicles up on the scene, so I actually just kind of got out of there before they shut the freeway down. And, you know, they let us go by. As I'm driving by, looking at the guy that's on the other side of the guardrail where everybody was like conjugating, like helping him, giving him first aid and stuff, I just happened to look down on my right side out of my driver's door, and there's a dead guy laying there. So he must have got ejected out of one of those cars. They knew he was dead already, but it just, that still haunts me. Just to, you know, not that I had never seen a dead guy, but the guy used to be an EMT in Lewis County, actually. But then it just, all of a sudden, here's a dead guy laying on the side of the road when you're not expecting it. I looked down and there he was. And I still remember the guy's name. His last name was Sanchez. And that's all I remember. So I remember that name because I looked it up on the newspaper the next day. And that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that sounds like one of those freaky things that you see, and you're not expecting that. Yeah, I mean, even having the experiences you had as an EMT, I get that. But you know, if I was driving down the road and all of a sudden I look down and I see a dead body, it's like that's going to creep me out for a long time. You know, that's just the way life is. I did want to ask you guys, how did the partnering together, how did the being a team together work out for you guys? And I don't mean that in any kind of derogatory way. I'm kind of interested in it. I've been doing this for, going on 27 years. And I was just kind of curious how that worked out for you guys as a team, as a husband and wife at the same time.
Well, I'll tell you my side of the story, and she can tell you her point of view on it. I don't okay. really have many years' experience as a driver. I was experienced. You never know everything in this industry, and the minute you do, that's where you're going to mess up. So I was well seasoned, right. And I already knew just the kind of guy I am. Like, I'm not going to train her. I don't want to be the one to train her because it's just not going to be fun for either one of us. So she went to school and I let her get her training elsewhere before she got on my truck. Cause I already had the job at the company and had my own truck. When she graduated, she came on board with me. So you can imagine what a seasoned driver with a rookie is like for the first year and a half, and then it's your wife on top of that. So it's hard enough to be a team driver with anybody, let alone a spouse that you love, So their temper's fair, and you've got to learn where you can go and where you can't go as far as, don't slam the door, don't hit that, the fifth wheel pin so hard or whatever, all the stuff you want to tell a rookie driver, but at the same time, you're hollering at your wife. And so it was a really fine line. But in the end, I think she's a better driver than I am as far as I'm concerned. She's a lot calmer. She has more patience than I have. She can deal with much more than I can. So she picked it up very quickly. And in her 5, 6, 7 years, what she's been at now, she's the only right now, the only female driver we have in Portland at our company. And, she's well respected at the company for what she can do, So that's my side of the story.
Yeah, that's awesome.
From my side, I was a new driver. So of course, when you're a new driver, the backing is not really fun, especially when you're used to driving a school bus, which, is a nice straight box. So there was time, and I have the personality of, I am going to do this. So there was a few times where we kind of got into it a little about, he'd say, oh, you want me to just do it for you? And I have to do this. It's my job. But we both have a life before each other and know what we want in our marriage. So that was always the first thing on our mind and making sure our marriage was where it needed to be. And we met a lot of people on the road that would say, I used to team with my ex, so it definitely takes a strong relationship to make it through teaming.
Oh, I definitely believe that. Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just give you an example. One of my very good friends and I, this company that Tara and I worked for, we were at another company before and we decided, hey, we're friends, we're buddies, let's go be a team. It took less than a day for us to want to beat each other up. And that lasted for about one trip to New York and back, and it was over. And we didn't speak to each other for a year, him and I. That's just an example, because you and I, neither one of us were ever team drivers before. We were always solo drivers. And but by the time Tara and I got off that truck as a team, we were a well-oiled machine. We did we had a lot of fun adventures. We used to, when we had downtime, we would go, and that, you know, cause you know, that's why we listened to, the confessionals, cause we're into the ghosts and all that. So we would go to different haunted places throughout the country, the Myrtles Plantation, you know, the Whaley House in San Diego, just all kinds of cool places when we had, when we're in the area and we had the time. So we made an adventure out of it and really had fun with it. And we missed that. Truly, we missed that now.
Yeah, you know, and now that you mentioned it, I've had to look it up because it was bothering me. Tara, you were on the confessionals for episode 39. We called it When Life Hits from the Shadows. And that was a long time ago, Tara, actually. 39, holy cow. I mean, I think
we were still teaming when we did that call.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, like, I mean, we're coming out with episode 220 on this coming Tuesday. So, I mean, that's almost 200 episodes ago. Wow. But yeah, if anybody's interested, theconfessionalspodcast.com, you can check it out. Episode 39. You guys are OG, you know, listeners. That's for sure.
Right. Listen,
so before I was drove truck and I was riding with Cody, we were leaving the place of his work. And it was nighttime and, you know, in Southern Oregon, it's rainy and cloudy during the wintertime. We're driving down the street and I see this lady, a girl, probably, you know, 16, 17, somewhere in there maybe. And she was wearing like old school pajamas that you see like Maura Ingalls wearing on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
You know, the that kind of nightgown. And, you know, and the weather was bad. And after we got past the girl, I said to Cody, I said, that's kind of strange. Why is that girl walking out here in this weather? And he says, what girl? He totally didn't even see her.
No.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So, In that moment, did you feel like you were seeing things or did you feel like you were going crazy or what?
No, because I have had moments where I've seen all kinds of things. So I don't take anything for granted. And if it's there, I just acknowledge it and let it go.
I'm just like, I never get to see anything. And that's me. I mean, a ghost could walk right in front of me and I'd never see it. We've been to all these haunted locations. I've never seen, you know, no Bigfoot. Tara's got Bigfoot stories, ghost stories, all that stuff. I've never seen none of it, but I believe in it all. So I'm kind of getting ripped off from all that. And it's like one of my passions, you know?
You're getting the short stick of life, man. You're getting the short stick of life.
That's right.
Well, you know, I find it interesting you guys teaming together and stuff. And you were talking about how the relationship went because, you know, it's true. I never really thought about it before, but like if I was, you know, teaming up with my wife, it's not like I could just say, that's it, I'm going for a walk, or that's it, you know, I'm going in the basement. Like, what are you going to do? That's it, I'm going to go into the cab? I mean, like there's no escape. Yeah,
I'm
going to
slam that curtain as good as I can.
Slam the curtain, yeah.
Oh man, I really heard a swoosh there. So,
yeah,
I find it interesting because, you know, there definitely be marital learning curves when it comes to driving together on the road for sure.
Yeah,
definitely, and I guess we got lucky because it enhanced, I suppose, our marriage. Because at the same time, our kids are all grown up and out of the house, so. We were able to spend those years together alone, just doing, you know, working, getting paid to travel the country. And we didn't always get to do what we wanted to do because, you know, one load after another, you know, kind of to go with what they sent you on. But we kind of made the most of it, you know, and it could have went the other direction, but it didn't. It's made our, you know, and now we drive for the same company in two different trucks. In fact, now she's got seniority over me by one employee, so she gets the better runs than I do. Yeah, and we actually still miss each other. It sounds kind of corny, but yeah, we miss each other. You know, she has an overnight run that goes to Wenatchee, and so there's one night a week that she's not home, and that's crazy because even when we were teaming together up until that time, we were hardly ever apart for two or three or four years.
I don't think that's corny or crazy. I think that's actually awesome. That really speaks to your relationship. That's a good thing. Cause yeah, one of the things that kind of piqued my ear was when Tara was talking, when she first started driving, was that you guys would run into other truck drivers who would say, well, yeah, I used to team with my ex. And that, you know, that says a lot about you guys, and it says a lot about what teaming is like. So, you know, I think it's important for people to understand how difficult this job can be, and the strain that it can put on a relationship, especially when you're, because I mean, I love my wife. We've been married for a long time. I'm trying to remember how many years it is now, Tony. 30 something years. I think it's 32 years this year. Don't tell her I stumbled on that. But, you know, I love her to death. I don't know if I'd have the patience to drive a truck with her, because I don't have the patience to drive with myself half the time. You know, I mean, what you see and the things you deal with on the road, and then to deal with with another person sitting in the seat next to you or in the sleeper while you're doing all the work. And, you know what I mean? And it's not like the job doesn't get shared. You know, it definitely does. But you're sitting there driving and something happens or whatever, or even just the monotony of the job. You know, it's just a reflection on me as a husband and as a man. I know I wouldn't have the patience to spend 24/7 with Tony's mother. Let me just say it that way.
I mean, I'm sitting in the truck. I'm sitting in the truck by myself sometimes, and I'm getting pissed off at myself. I'm by myself and I'm getting mad. Like, I'm driving down the road and I'm trying to make deliveries, and, you know, I'm peddling freight. I got 15 deliveries and I got, you know, 4 hours to get them done before everybody starts closing. And I make a wrong turn, and right there you realize, crap, now I got to go all the way back around to get back on track. It's going to set me back 30 minutes. And now I'm pissed off at myself. You know?
It's so funny. Yeah, it's kind of funny how the progression, Tara's progression as a human, what she's developed into from a timid, you know, just a timid, you know, young female type lady to now she's a trucker and she talks like a trucker.
That's
and
awesome.
Cusses like a trucker, drives like a trucker, and will stand. I'll put her up against any man trucker. She can do her job, but she's got the attitude to go with it. And it's kind of funny how that happened. Has that just naturally? It's not like I molded her into that, because, you know, you hang around me long
enough. What I had hiding inside.
Yeah. You know, so her vocabulary system has really improved.
Yeah, you'd never guess I'm highly educated and have 2 bachelor's degrees and drive a truck.
Oh man.
My wife would be totally surprised at the words that run through my head during the night when I'm driving. Yeah. I mean, because I don't talk to my wife that way. You know what I mean? It's just I come home and I leave the truck driver in the car when I get out. You know, which is a good thing. Well, yeah. But you know, the things that run through your head, the thoughts that you think, and you're like, man, I would love the people that I love, which is why I love doing this show with Tony, because he understands, you know, he does what I do for a living and he gets it. I come home from work and I very rarely talk about work, because I figure my wife doesn't really understand, you know, what I do or what I'm talking about when I'm talking about truck driving for a living. You know, I grew up in a house where my dad, and I apologize for, I'm not trying to take over the show. I'm actually going somewhere with this. My dad and my brother would come home from work, and they worked together, and they would sit at the dinner table and talk for, you know, hours. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't even know who these people they're talking about, you know? And so I kind of got the idea in my head, when I'm older and I have kids and I have a wife, I'm not bringing my work home with me. So Michelle doesn't really understand it. So when Tony and I actually get together for, you know, when our families get together for dinner, we actually sit and talk about work, which is like, for me, it's like a relief. It's like an out, you know, I have somebody to talk to. We're here. You have an opportunity. You're married and you team together, but now you're both driving separately, but you're still both driving. You actually have that conversation for you, is to be able to talk with each other and say, oh my word, you wouldn't believe what I saw today. Oh my word, you wouldn't believe what I saw today. I mean, holy crap, take a look at this. Listen to this story, you know. I just one of those things. I'm kind of jealous of that sometimes, you know.
Well, and the funny thing is, you know, we both drive for the same company, so we end up going to some of the same stores. And I'd be like, oh, you know, that lady at that store, she did this today. And he'd be like, oh, this person, you know, so we also get that part.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And But, you know, like Cody was saying, he was telling you about how I go to Wenatchee, which is in Washington, one night a week, and it's so far that I have to stay the night. So I got this story for you. I stay the night in Union Gap, Washington, which is right near Yakima, and it's between 82 and 84, and I have to take 97 to get back, which is where the Yakima Nation Indian grounds are. So I just pull on to 97 after leaving my hotel. It's about 1:45 in the morning. And I see the semi, you know, up ahead. He's pulled to the side with his flashers going. So me, I'm like, oh, he must have hit a deer or something. And so then, of course, as I'm driving, I see parts all over the road thinking, yeah, he hit something. And then as I keep driving, I'm thinking to myself, that'd be kind of a weird place for a deer. And then, you know, and then in my mind, as I'm still thinking, I'm like, you know, there was like a bag of clothes there or something. And so then I'm not even a mile down the road. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that was a body. That was a person that had been hit. And like when you hit a deer, they kind of explode. There was just parts everywhere. And so wow. I'm thinking to myself, that's pretty gross. And
oh, that
I just ran over some body parts. You know, so then by the time I get all the way home, it was really bugging me. So I had to Google the newspaper there in Yakima. And that's what it was. A guy, he must have hit him just before I went through there, because it said that the person that got hit just before 2 a.m. And I went through there at 1:45. So that's a story that's pretty gross.
So, yeah. The way you just said the story, I might be hearing it wrong. Did whoever hit him keep driving?
No,
he pulled. Okay. It was another truck driver. There was a guy walking on the highway in the lane, according to the newspaper. That's what the newspaper said. So the truck driver, he did not get cited for anything, you know. And so, because I had seen the semi pulled over to the side with his flashers going, and you know, and like I said, after I went by. I was going southbound. So the northbound lane was the ambulance. So, I mean, it had just happened. The ambulance hadn't even got to the accident site yet.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you guys have a really bad habit of coming across dead bodies out there on the road. I mean, holy cow.
Not to mention the dead deer and all stuff. We hit a deer in, just about Minneapolis before we were getting into the terminal over there. And that stupid deer, we had a set of doubles that day. And that deer took out one of the valves on the bottom of the air can where, you know, you pull the little cord and it'll bleed the air can on the bottom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that deer hit that, but there was deer guts from one end of that set of trailers to all the way to the back. So, yeah, there's another one for you.
Well, then we were stuck on the side of the road for 13 hours for somebody to come haul us, a tow truck to come get us.
Yeah. That was fun.
Been down that road before. I know what that's like. But, you know, the funny thing is,
when we did get paid, we didn't get paid for breakdown.
Oh, wow. I mean,
if you were there for 24 hours, you know, but that's the advantage of being a union driver. Now, the second you're down, you're getting paid for it. You're getting paid well for it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the thing is, the funny thing is you know how much running over or hitting a deer, whether the deer is dead on the road already or you're the person who took it out, you know, it steps out in the road and it gets in front of you, how much that can ruin your night. I cannot imagine being the truck driver who hit the person. You know what I mean? How much that must affect him or her, whatever the case is, you know? I mean, it just has got to be one of those things that you've got to take a few days off and get your head back.
Yeah,
if he can even recover. Yeah, the newspaper said he wasn't charged with anything, and he had two passengers. So I'm assuming, you know, because it was a Saturday night into Sunday morning, I'm assuming maybe he had his kids with him, which would be terrible. Because it was a 53-year-old gentleman that was the driver. They, I don't think they were able to identify who the person was that got hit.
Yeah.
So, and he was local to Yakima. He was a Yakima resident. The truck driver was.
Let me ask you guys a question. I mean, you've seen, you know, different people that you come across out in the road and that were either hit by a truck or something where they passed away. you come across this scene. And have you ever thought about how you would react if something like that happened to you? I mean, because I know as a driver, you're out there on the road by yourself all day, and you think about things like that. And I often think, you know, if that something like that tragically would happen to me, I really don't know how I'd react to it. I don't know if I'd ever be able to return to driving. I don't know how I'd be able to internalize that and actually get back in the truck and drive again. What do you guys think about that?
Well, my brother-in-law, he was a truck driver, and basically that happened to him. An older lady pulled out right in front of him, and he said, I was standing on my brakes. He couldn't stop, and he hit her, and she passed away, and he has not driven since. So for myself, I don't really know, but I don't imagine I could probably drive anymore. But I have heard a lot of people say, oh, I just want to kill myself, and I'm just going to jump in front of a semi or drive my car into a semi. Yeah. And I always tell those people, I said, you know, you're affecting somebody else's life, and how dare you try to put that on somebody, you know, because that is something you have to carry the rest of your life.
I got kind of two schools of thought on that. If it was an accident where... it was a complete accident, you can't really answer the question until it happens, you know. But then there's those stupid people that cut you off and do stupid things, brake check you and do stupid things in front of you. There's the other school of thought. Now, if I hit that person that just brake checked me and I put my grill right through the back of his head, how would I feel? I don't know. That's their fault. And as far as, you know, they're going to try to put it on the truck driver. They always will. They're going to go back and drug test you. See, the public don't have to be drug tested, but the truck driver is the first one to get drug tested. And then it just goes, you know, it's like that kind of stupidity warrants its own outcome. But a complete accident where, you know, neither one of the parties were at fault, that would be different to deal with. It'd be a different story. So I guess it all would depend on the situation. I don't think it would put, I'm looking for an excuse to get out of driving truck anyway. But I don't want it to be that. If somebody wants to offer me a job, make it what I make now, that'd be great. But
it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen anytime soon.
So. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's like, I understand what you're saying, because it's all about the circumstances of how it all unfolds. And I know for episode 3, I believe it was, we had Todd Dewey on, and he had an accident out there in Washington State. And he's that guy that was on Ice Road Truckers and Axemen. And I forget what the story was behind it, but he actually wound up killing the people that were in the car. And, you know, he's still driving and stuff. I mean, it's obviously a sad situation, but, you know, he was able to get back in the seat and drive. And after I did that interview, and I was just thinking, I was like, I wonder what I would do in that kind of situation. And you know what, Cody, I kind of agree with you in this certain sense where it's like, you know, sometimes I am looking for a way to get out of trucking, and it's too hard because the money's too good to get out. But maybe that would be something that would push me over the edge to be like, you know what, I'm done.
Well, my son, just this last year, he's been driving truck now for about 4 years, and he was coming off a pretty steep grade in Snohomish, last year in Washington, and he had a bad accident by himself. You know, he ran the truck off the road, and it spooked him so bad that he quit driving truck. But then within a few months, he's back to driving again. So, you know, that's, I don't know.
It's the money,
I guess. I don't know. But going back to what we were talking about, family and stuff, you know, money's not everything for sure. You know, we all know as drivers that you definitely sacrifice your family, especially long haul drivers. I raised my kids basically on the telephone, and I've been basically my ex-wife would, you know, call me a bad father because I was never around. And you know, I know there's plenty of other drivers out there that's got that same story. As much as, you know, you're out there trying to make a living for your family, but you got to be out there on the road doing it. Now, there's the other hand where you're at home and you're with your family, but you're not making as much. So I finally have found the type of job, being a union driver now, that you're actually at home and you're making the money that you, and you don't have to sacrifice that time, you know, away from your family. So, you know, so it's, everybody knows that's listening to this, that's a driver, knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, that is the issue. And you know what I find a shame is that it takes something like what we're walking through as you know, globally, I mean, with this whole coronavirus thing, for people to recognize how much work truck drivers actually do, and actually, you know, you're starting to see a little bit more respect, because we're some of the people that are actually still working and performing something, a necessary job, a necessary task, so that people can, you know, buy the groceries that they need to buy, even though the grocery stores are seem to be swamped out of everything. But, you know, because, I mean, I've done this, you know, since, like I said, 93, I've been doing this for a long time. And, you deal with, like, my job, I drive at night. I deal with people on the, you know, rush hour morning traffic is the time that I deal with it. And it drives you crazy. I mean, there's no sense from people that they understand what you're doing or how much weight you're traveling with or how much weight they're traveling around, you know, just having that sense that, this is dangerous. Please be careful, please. And if there's any PSA that can come out of this, it's like, you know, people, don't walk on the road, don't walk on the highway, and have a little bit of respect for what's happening around you, because anything can happen. I mean, even something as simple as, I mean, we've all seen tires blow. We've all had trailer tires blow out while we're driving down the road. But the shrapnel that comes off of that tire that starts flying around, it's like I see people sit on the right-hand side or the left-hand side of my trailer, back by the tires. And I think to myself, why would you sit there as a four-wheeler driving along with those tires right at your head? You know, I those are things that I don't understand with people.
It's, they don't know, Dad. Like, that's the thing. Like, people don't, and that's why I'm glad we're doing this podcast, because I know there's a lot of people that listen to this show that aren't truck drivers, and they literally don't know. Like, they don't realize that these tires could blow at any time. When they hear about a tire blowing, it's like they think a flat tire. This isn't this is something that explodes and it could kill you. And I think that there's a lot of, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but I think there's a lot of ignorance in every sense of the word, what ignorance means, towards what truck driving is. And, you know, we're considered essential, right? And so, we're starting to see that more and more. We've been getting people emailing the show, saying thank you. Like the one person said that they realized that, there's a lot more trucks out in the road than normal. It's just that they're actually noticing it. You know, they're noticing how much of us are out there.
Yeah, we haven't slowed down. In fact, you know, they lifted the DOT regulations. You know, we have no, you guys, us, nobody has any,
we can work up to 18
hours nonstop.
Yeah. There's no hour restriction. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as there's a 10-hour break in there.
Yep.
And that's amazing that for something like this, it's deemed dangerous 3 weeks ago, but all of a sudden now it's not dangerous and we're working twice as hard.
Yes.
And the kind of work that Tara and I do, you know, like I said, we work for a company that supplies groceries to, you know, all the stores, and, you know, they're so happy to see the person that brings bread or milk or toilet paper. And, I have started seeing a little bit more. I mean, I had somebody the other day, they were in a crosswalk, a couple of ladies, they were crossing, they waved at me. I was like, wow, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah. There's no middle finger involved.
Yeah. And,
that's kind of nice.
One was delivered to one of the stores, the receiver in the back, after I got all done, she goes, can I get you some coffee or energy drink? I'm like, I didn't say it, but I felt like saying, do I look tired? You know, it was, but yeah. You know, that's the first time that's happened, you know, that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, and then I also work as a hostler in the yard as much as I can, because I'd prefer to do that, not have to deal with traffic in public. And the amount of outside carriers that are coming into our yard, bringing product to us so we can redistribute it to the stores. It's like, you know what the holiday rush, you know how the holiday rush, Christmas and Thanksgiving all wrapped up in one?
Yeah.
And the night before Christmas, all in one. And it's been like that at the distribution center for like 3 weeks now. And it's not stopping anytime soon.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy. And then you get drivers that are extremely tired, because some drivers, I don't do it. I'm 50 years old now, and I don't care to work that hard anymore. Some of the younger drivers, they'll take advantage of it. And the one guy, he said he's been, I talked this morning, he's 19 days straight, and he hasn't stopped working. So he's got a family, young kids, and he's taking advantage of the pay.
Yeah.
You know, we work anything over 8 hours, and it's time and a half, you know. So if you get to do it, why not? But then again, is it dangerous today as it was 4 weeks ago? You know, that's the question, you know. But we're doing it because we're essential, right? And people need their toilet paper.
Right, right. You know, well, here's one of the things that I've learned over the years of driving. I mean, I'm 52, so we're kind of, you know, in that age group, Cody. We're together there. One of the things that I've learned, and this is one thing that I've tried to, you know, some of these other drivers as they start with the same company I'm with, same thing. This is what I told Tony years ago when he first started driving. He's like, I want to work more hours, Dad. I want to make more money.
Dad, you said don't.
Don't. But if you're going to do it, there you go. That's exactly. But here's one of the things that you had that the younger drivers have to learn. It is not about how much your paycheck says you grossed. It's about how much your paycheck says you take home, because you can gross a ton of money and lose a lot of it in taxes. I learned that a long time ago in this industry. And it is one of the things that I take runs that are mediocre in length. And people are like, why don't you, with your seniority, you could take a lot longer runs. And I'm like, why? And give Uncle Sam more of my money, you know? It's like, why should I put the time in and not get compensated? So that's one of the things I've learned over the years is, you know, I can mitigate the whole length of drive and the length of time I'm sitting behind the wheel by looking at and saying, I'm working to the point where it still pays me to work. Once I hit that point where I'm making $5 an hour because taxes are taking it, it's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, bonuses in our industry, it's a joke, you know. Oh, you got a bonus. Yeah, you got a fuel bonus. That doesn't turn out to nothing in reality. It's not that I'm complaining about it, but
right.
The taxation on those bonuses is incredible. Yeah. It's just, okay.
Uncle Sam got a bonus.
We found this out the hard way last year with deductions. You know, we used to be able to do all of our, even if you were not an owner and operator, you were able to, you know, write off your per diem and this and that. And you were able to actually do all right tax season, even as a company driver. And they took all that away 2 years ago. And we ended up owing money because we made too much money, I suppose, you know.
So we have no claim.
So. Yeah. And we basically got the short end of the stick for making too much money. And, you know, it's like, wow, what did, you know, so does that make you want to work harder? No, it makes exactly. You want to, you know, like today I work a local, my bid right now is local, 3 or 4 days a week. I had 3 runs and basically I was done in 6.5 hours. I had to find something to do in the yard just to stay busy to get my 8 hours in. And, you know, at 8 hours I was gone, but if I really wanted to, I could work 10, 12 hours. You know, but I really don't want to, you know,
yeah.
I'd rather spend that time with Tara, you know, so.
You know, and I think that, you know, this conversation that we're having is an important one because, and this isn't even pertaining just to the trucking industry, but just in general, if anybody in the government's listening right now, taxes are too damn high. Good night, everybody. I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous, and there's got to be something here that they can do for us. I mean, I was a big proponent of that idea of a flat tax of 10% across the board. Everybody, no matter how much you make or how little you make, 10%. Like, just let's do that. Like, it sounds great to me because right now you're killing me with taxes.
Yeah,
yeah.
course, us truck drivers, we have nothing better to do than think all day on stuff like this. You know, we have all kinds of good ideas. So who's listening, right?
That's why they call us road scholars.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, I appreciate you being here on the show and joining us in conversation. It's been great.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. And congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you. Yeah, September is going to come very fast, and I have to move the studio. Right now, I record everything in our third bedroom, and I got to build a studio in the basement, and I'm trying to still figure out how I'm going to do that. But something's got to happen between now and September because I got to move out of here. So.
Yeah, it's so strange because, like, when we started talking to you before, you guys were pregnant at that point. So it's kind of like,
wow,
you know, we get Ben as he grows, and he's kind of like part of our little family too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, every time you guys get pregnant, we're going to be on the phone with you.
Well, that's hilarious. Let's not plan it that way. Because
next podcast, we'll figure something to talk about. Yeah.
I'm not planning on having any more kids, and I want to talk to you again. So.
Yeah, I said that. I said that too.
Well, everybody, that's the show, and we really hope you enjoyed it. Dad, if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
Tell your friends. Tell your social media pals. Go on social media. Share it with your girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives, ex-wives, mistresses, and lot lizards. Wherever you find someone to share it with them. We'd love to get it out there.
Absolutely. I love it. Absolutely. So, and lot lizards. I love it. Listen, we're having so much fun doing the show, and I really hope you guys are enjoying the show as well. And if you really want to help support the show, you can do what my dad said, share the show around. But also, if you want, go to the website, and we do have a Hammer Lane Legends gear section, which we're very bad at self-promoting and stuff. I mean, we have it there, but we don't tell people. If you want some t-shirts or hoodies with the Hammer Lane Legends logo, it's on the website. Just check out the store section, and you can be repping Hammer Lane Legends with the apparel. So until next week, drivers, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Bye.
I'm just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on me, I'll sit and tell you. Train with a heavy load of my past. And these rails that I've been riding on, they're worn so thin that they're damn near gone. I guess now they just weren't built to last. Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sense of what I can, of where I'm